Thinking a wedding planner isn't in your budget? Think again. Did you know that beyond this podcast, I offer virtual wedding planning coaching? This is something perfect for your needs and your budget. It's not a stale digital course. It's dynamic, it's live, and it's all about empowering you. Together, we'll keep your wedding planning vibe light, fun, and totally dialed in. I'll be your go-to wedding planner right in your pocket, real-time access, just a phone tap or Zoom away. You'll get all my tools. I will personalize them for you, and you're not going to have the hefty price tag of a traditional wedding planner. So save your cash, ditch the stress, and make your wedding planning a journey to remember. For more info, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram. You can go to the bigweddingplanningpodcast.com or just shoot me an email. I'm here for you. Let's make your wedding epic. Lovey, lovey show.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained. At the same time, my name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Dixie Bagley.
Dixie Bagley, welcome back.
Good to be back. I've missed you.
I know. I miss you too. I always think of you. I always see you on social. and I love to follow your adventures with your husband because he's a pilot and you get to fly all sorts of really cool places. That's really cool. How is it? I mean, are you used to him flying? Is it kind of like driving in a car? How are you? Well, first of all, when you're driving in a car.
It's terrible.
Is it terrible?
He has the worst road rage. And he's like, this is why I fly.
Okay.
I can't believe my horn in my car still works because he literally honks at everybody.
Oh, he's a road rager.
Yeah, okay. I need to film it. I'm going to like secretly start doing it, put it together for a TikTok just of like some of the stuff he says.
Could just be one TikTok account is my husband with road rage.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, they are so dumb. And I'm like, how do you know? He's like, that college sticker doesn't mean anything on there.
Alumni of where?
They did not go there.
And how are you? How are you as a driver?
I love driving. I'm super cool. I mean, I do shake my head and, you know, for fuck's sake at people, but I'm like rubbing is racing. I'm fast. I'm in, out, in, yeah. Bobbing, weaving, and nobody knows I'm going to do it. I just creep up on them and do it. I don't ride people's asses. I like stay back real far until I get my window and then I'm all up in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been paying so much attention to driving now because my son just got his permit and he's a good driver. He's a really good driver. And I started driving with him before he had his permit. Like my dad did that with me too. Like we would go to like the industrial park and, you know, on a Sunday when nobody's there and drive around. And I've always been like, wow, Santi, you're like, he's not nervous. He's got total control. He's very chill, like very good driver. And of course now when I'm driving, he's constantly like, Mom, you're going so fast. You didn't even like fully stop at that stop sign. And then he'll like tell me, I'm like, okay, I don't. All right. It's annoying, but I've very much been paying attention. But I feel like as I get older, I don't like when anybody else drives except for me.
I prefer to drive, but I've gotten better as I've gotten older. One of the perks of letting go and just being like, you know, this person's driving like hell and they're probably going to need new brakes in a second, but I'm just living in the moment. Just going to look at my phone, like I'm going to check out.
You're going to look at your phone? You can't
when
look at your
phone. People are driving. When
other
people
Okay. When other people are driving.
I've gotten better about like letting go some of that need for control of that.
Yeah. Situation. It's definitely a need for control. I also feel like that's what, you know, road rage is too. It's like, yeah. Cause a lot of people in my family have that major, like bad. And I have a little bit. My husband says I have it a lot. I don't think I do, but I'm not terrible.
Yeah. I've just kind of learned to laugh at most of the stupid things that people do and just find entertainment in it. And it just works out a whole lot better that way.
I think overall just life, that's how we should.
Yeah. Just laugh at it, learn from it. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
Just laugh at the stupid people.
Yeah, it's good. It's good exercise.
Well, Dixie, how many times have you been on the pod now? I mean, it's been, I don't know, 3, 4, 5. I don't know, a lot. You've done a few yawas with me, I feel like.
Maybe 4 or 5. We'll have to go back and count after.
I know. But tell everybody what you're up to, what you do, where you're located. Where's that cute accent from?
I'm a Mississippi queen, but live in Rome, Georgia. So I've been here for a long time and, you know, own a wedding venue and a couple other businesses, bakery, a wedding planning company, and do some speaking and consulting in business and in weddings. And that's kind of what I do. I think I've decided that my jam is just really helping people in business and potential clients and my own clients make the best financial decisions that give them the most outcome, the best outcome and happiness. I've decided that that's obviously something that I've fortunately done well with, is making my own financial decisions that have made me happy. And I really like to help other people do that. So that's kind of what I've been focusing on the past year or two. Is obviously I still do plenty of weddings. I still do plenty of wedding planning. But my primary thing that brings me the most joy is just really like helping people kind of make good use of their money, smart use, and, you know, and not having buyer's remorse, whether it be in their business or getting married here or somewhere else. I want them to be educated and make good decisions and feel good about what they do and hopefully be really successful with it.
Yes. I love that. That's a good thing. That's a good focus. That's something that everybody could use.
Yeah.
Well, Dixie, we have a lot of questions here, as we do with every Yawa episode. Lots of questions, things about venues, which you are very well aware of. This one about this photographer in particular is very interesting. Communicating to clients strictly through social media. And then, you know, how long it takes for photos to come back after the wedding. Oof. Waiting for those is so hard to do. I pulled some questions from my beautiful Facebook group. And then we're also talking about not hosting a casual welcome party, like basically not paying for it, and orchestrating that really cool dancer game, Who's Been Married the Longest? So we've got quite a few things to cover here. And something tells me you and I are going to have a lot to say about each of these. So let's dive in. Let's go Yawa. Yawa. I'm going to read number one. My wedding is in December, and I just found out that our venue has no heat. It's not that it's broken. It's just that it's an older venue, and they've never invested in a heating system. What, if anything, should we do? If I pull out now, among lots of other headaches, we will lose $4,000. The ceremony is going to be outdoors. The reception is going to be indoors. What do you think, Dixie?
Yeah, I mean, this is, as we've discussed, this is something I've run into before. And it's unfortunate, you know, that this goes back to the client, that they've got to read their contracts and ask these questions before. you know, as a venue owner, people come to me all the time. And they're like, where's the parking? Well, girl, we got parking. What you need to be asking is, do we have heating and air? like ask legitimate stuff, you know? But that's a big thing that I think that a lot of people don't ask. And when a venue promises or says that we hope to have something, whether it be a table or a linen or HVAC, that doesn't mean they have to. And you sign your contract and your deposit's non-refundable. You know, unfortunately, you can't do a lot about that except for call the venue and see what you can do. And if it's okay for you to bring in heaters, which are going to be at your expense 9 times out of 10, the venue's not going to foot the bill for that unless they're just really sweet and gracious and, you know, and sorry, because they truly had intentions of supplying heat, but if, you know, or air, but if they have not, it's up to you, the client, to make do. And while you're making do, you have to fall within the guidelines of the venue. You're at their mercy.
You know, it's interesting because you wouldn't think that you'd have to ask.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's, you think about like common questions, but, and you think about pricing and how it looks, but I mean, oftentimes you're like, I have to ask if they have heating or air conditioning. I guess it depends on what part of the world you're in. Yeah. Because I can see like it being an obvious, like, let's say, you know, you're in England at a venue that's like 200 years old or whatever. And you're like, hey, this place have a heater. But it's not always obvious to ask this question, but it's such a great question. And that's why I started with this question, because I'm like, this is something people need to think about. Yeah. In California, it's not common really that we have to ask this question because it's never freezing. I mean, it's never like, ugh. And when you're in a room with, you know, 100 people, there's a natural warmth, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess it just depends on the venue and the location and how many guests and obviously time of year. And yeah, I mean, I don't think at this point it's worth it to pull out, like your wedding's coming up super fast. So it's more like, okay, let's do some kind of, let's thank goodness we found out now. Right.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah, miserable.
Yeah. So it's about renting heaters. Now, obviously, in the outdoor space for the ceremony, there's always that question, well, it's going to be really quick. Like, do we really need to spend the money on propane heaters? You know, the ceremony is only going to be 15 minutes. And I guess that's really personal preference, but just remember that a ceremony, even though don't you hear this all the time, Dixie? Oh my God, my ceremony is gonna be really quick. It's only gonna be 15 minutes. It's only gonna be 15 minutes. It's gonna be so fast. We don't even need to rehearse. It's only gonna be 15 minutes. But it isn't actually only 15 minutes because your guests will arrive prior to. Some of them even as much as 30 minutes prior to the ceremony.
Some of them 2 hours before.
Oh, geez. Does that happen at your venue?
Crazy. Yes.
Wow. Really? Yes. What do you do? Yeah. Are you like, excuse me?
People pull through and they've been like, hey, I'm coming to a wedding here next year. And I just wanted to see where it was.
Well, that's kind of funny. but 2 hours before the shit's being set up. You can't, but anyway, that's another subject. But yeah, I mean, people are arriving as early as 30 minutes before from the time, if you start on time, by the way, you know, from the time we're lining you up and ready to start walking out as part of the processional to the time you've kissed, had that photo, walked back down the aisle, it's always going to be about 30 minutes.
Yes.
So, I mean, your guests are going to be out there like an hour.
Yes. And you hope that they come dressed appropriately. But if you have not put on your invitation or your website that this is going to be outside and it's in December and we're in an area where it's cold or summer and it's hot, you know, they don't know. Obviously, you want your guests to be comfortable, you know, as well. But, you know, it's longer than 15 minutes for sure.
Yeah. So yes, outdoor, it's up to you for the ceremony. And that's such a good point, Dixie, putting, you know, putting a message out there. This is another thing that this person can do on the wedding website or send a mass text. It's going to be cold. It's going to be cold.
And rent heaters, they need to make sure that someone is okay to move them if they're planning on repurposing them, because those things are not easy to move.
No, they're not. Yeah. I mean, if there's going to be cocktail reception outdoors as well, then yes, I would definitely do the propane heaters. And then indoors, you can't really put propane heaters inside.
No.
That's not safe.
No, not a good idea.
So, and you can rent or purchase electric heaters, right, that you plug in. But then you've got to check with this venue on what their, you know, electrical wattage, ampage situation is, which is something you should always do anyway, because at that point, you don't want the lights going out.
Oh, no, that would ruin everything.
Yeah. So I would think to look into renting indoor heaters and potentially renting a generator that you can plug all these heaters into, because they do take a lot of energy.
Yes. And first and foremost, checking with the venue to make sure prior to spending more money, you know, that it's actually okay and works with the venue, so that you're not going against their policies.
But plug in,
et cetera.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, just at the end of the day, when things like this happen, we can usually always be resourceful and figure it out. But this is all stuff that we would want to ask and check in like a year ago when we were looking at this venue.
Yeah, way ahead of time. Listen, first thing I do, I think it's from the construction background, I walk in or I look at photos of venues online when my clients send me stuff for somewhere else. And I am immediately looking in all their photos on Instagram for vents.
Oh, interesting.
I've always been that way, you know, just like, because I know now being in the wedding industry, especially here in the South, and you have a lot of things that have been converted into a venue, you know, that a lot of these barns don't have HVAC. A lot of these industrial places don't. And I get it. As a business owner, it's going to cost $30,000 to $80,000. It's a lot of money. You know what I mean? To put that in there. But, you know, at the same time, they're not required to disclose that to their, you know, clients, should they? Absolutely. But, you know, but they don't. So it's something for me that I'm immediately scanning and looking through all their photos, looking for signs of HVAC. You're in the South. You got to have your heat and you got to have your AC. So
what we're usually focused on over here is more the air conditioning because of the summer weddings. I mean, it can get hot AF. Where you are as well, obviously. And, you know, if it's an outdoor wedding in August, you know,
nobody wants to eat cold or hot.
Mm-mm.
Uncomfortable.
I agree. Okay. Well, now question number two is very similar, but we're expanding a bit on what we can do in advance. We are going to look at venues in person in a couple of weeks. We will see three venues all on a Saturday. What should we be sure to ask and look at? Da, 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 da. Venue owner Dixie. What do people ask? Are there weird things that people ask you that you're like, really?
The weirdest thing people ask me right after they have pulled up and parked in my giant parking lot and they get out of my car is, where's the parking? Like, well, you just parked there. But these lists on WeddingWire and The Knot and all of these other places tell them these things to ask. So sometimes they, you know, some of them are silly questions. Some of them are important. Obviously, restrooms are hugely important. And not only do you want to know if they have restrooms, you want to see them. You want to make sure they're big enough and they're up to your standards. Some places have restrooms here in the South. It's not uncommon for a wedding venue that is a barn venue to have a porta potty as a restroom, but it looks like a real restroom from the outside. If that's not up to your standards, you need to know that ahead of time. Obviously, HVAC is huge. Catering kitchen, catering prep area. Not that you're going to use it, but you want your vendors to be happy unless the venue comes with, you know, a catering crew already, then you don't have to worry. But those are huge things. Family lounge area, obviously, if you're going to get dressed there, your area that you'll be getting dressed in. And the no-brainer is clearly your, you know, ceremony reception areas. But other than that, your plan B, your what if the shit hits the fan? Where are you going to have everything? And are you happy with it?
Yeah.
Or you got to be happy with it. You got to love it because it could happen. Like, you know, so those are, to me, those are important. And I also think when you're hunting, and this is probably on a personal thing, but I think when you're hunting for a venue, you need to love your venue representative because you're going to talk to them a lot. And if they're a good venue representative, they're going to guide you in making good decisions. And you want to have a really good relationship with them. And also know their rules for their venue and understand and respect that and make sure that that's a great place for you.
That's such great advice in terms of, you know, really paying attention to the person that is showing you around. But oftentimes, I mean, with you, Dixie, like that's your venue. But sometimes like hotels, for example, like the person showing you around might not necessarily be the person that you're going to be planning things with or that's going to be there on your wedding day. So that's a great question to ask as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's beyond these hotels. I mean, I've been asked to work for hotels and big resorts and help them, you know, and the reason why is because they want one point of contact person for their couples to trust. And I think that it's okay for you to ask a hotel or a venue or a bigger company, hey, do you have one point of contact person that I can hopefully rely on through this next year relationship to talk to, or am I going to have to talk to a different person every time? Because that's important to me. Let them know that's important. Because a lot of times these big hotels, they don't understand the importance of that to their client, you know?
Yeah.
And if they don't say, is it okay if I have a person come in that's going to constantly ask you questions, you know, and on my behalf to make sure that we're good here.
Yeah. Yeah, my God, you know, that's a whole nother subject, right? These big corporate venues versus someone, a venue like yours, which is a small business owned by, you know, individuals. So I recently had a consulting session with one of my coaching clients, and they, you know, they're at the beginning phases of wedding planning, and it was more... At first we started with where in the world do you want to have your wedding, right? Like they were comparing like Las Vegas to like Pennsylvania to Florida, right? And it was all of these. So we just kind of came down and then they were going to be going to a venue to go look at venues. But one of the things that I always tell people is, you know, do your due diligence before you go on a site visit, right? Make sure it checks all the boxes, like ask all the questions, a lot of them before you go and fall in love with a venue. So I always, always tell this to people because how many times as a wedding planner, as an independent wedding planner, do we get calls of a couple that is in a bit of a panic because they've already booked a venue, not knowing their budget, not knowing anything, but they were so excited, you know, when they got engaged that they went straight to go look at those venues that they've been seeing and are so excited about and booked it on the spot because it just sounded great. And then they were screwed because they didn't actually have the budget to have their wedding there. So
that's why you get a wedding mentor or someone like
one
like Michelle.
One like me or Dixie. And so do your due diligence beforehand. Now, once you get to the venue, there's lots of things to look at and ask. And some really key things that you want to bring with you and do when you're there. I don't know, Dixie, if you have people, I'm sure you do, is one, all of the correspondence, which might be living on your phone, but if you have printouts or whatever, bring that with you that you've already had with this venue, right? And you know, you've already made mental notes. I definitely want to look at that, you know, that weeping willow tree that they said would be beautiful. One of the options for our ceremony space, right? But also like, bring a tape measure potentially just in case. You never know if there's something you need to measure, you're curious about. Bring something to take notes with, whether you take notes on your phone, on an iPad, or if you do a good old fashioned notebook and pen, bring that. But take a lot of video and photo. I love on a site visit. Like if I went to go look at your venue, Dixie, and you were giving me a tour, I would actually be taking a lot of videos. I would start it and stop it often, but like listen to what you're saying as we're walking through a space, because you're not going to, especially if you're going to go see three venues in one day, you are not going to remember everything at all. Yeah. You're going to have to look back.
We actually, so I keep a camera in my office and it records everything. And I just told my assistant this week, I was like, I think we're just, I want to sit down and I want y'all to just go through a tour and just like film the tours and like, let's put that all out there for people and send that to people. Cause it's a great way to get all those Q&As and see it all.
That's a great idea.
I do like encourage my people. I'm like, put your phone recorder on when you do a tour with me, because we're going to talk about a whole lot and I'm going to overwhelm the hell out of you at some point. And you're going to like check out because you're going to be thinking about one thing, you know, one thing that you liked or one thing that you need to ask next. And I'm like, so record it. I feel free to record it. I think that's great for people. I think
Dixie, that is such a good idea, because, you know, so many venues you look online, like a lot of these couples can't fly and go look at a venue because of work, because of kids, because of whatever it is. And they might rely on a friend or family member to go do it. But if you actually had like a, you know, a lot of videographers, a freaking professional videographer, go follow you as you give a site visit and they really do it beautifully and have that living on your website or have a link, a URL you can send to people. That would be huge.
And then they can watch it as many times as they want.
That's a great idea.
They can't answer all those questions. Because you always get overwhelmed and you forget when you're touring venues. I can't imagine being a client and looking at 20 venues, which is what some people who come here, they've literally been looking at 20 venues. And I'm just like, you've got to have sensory overload at that point.
A lot of people do. I hear about that a lot. The other thing I always tell people is like, when you get there, like just start really observing from the moment you pull up to the parking lot or the ride that it took to get there. Was it a windy road? Is it kind of scary at night? Could a bus take 57 passengers on the road to the venue? Is there a lot of dips? And you know what I mean? Like think about your guests. Is it a destination wedding, right? Are you going to be offering transportation? Are people going to be driving locally? Like, just start thinking about the experience from the moment you're driving there to the moment you pull up to how it looks, right? Really observe and just say, can you envision your wedding there? Can you envision your guests enjoying this? Was there some wow factor the moment you drove up, or is it when you actually walk through and see that beautiful barn that you have there, Dixie? Like, all of that, you know, really like open your eyes and envision your event there. That's huge. That's so important.
Yeah. And I tell my potential clients, I encourage all of them. And I think if you don't go to a venue that does this, you should ask. But after I finish my tour, you know, I tell my people, I'm like, look, I'm going to give y'all, do you want a coffee? You want a cocktail, whatever you want to drink. And I'm going to give you a drink. And I want y'all to go walk back through the venue by yourself and talk and hang out and do your own thing. Because it gives them a minute to talk without me standing there glaring at them and the pressure, but it also gives them time to really just breathe and take it in and just sit there. And I think, I mean, for me, when I bought houses or whatever, I want to go spend time alone there. I don't want to sit with an agent the whole time. So I think it's good for the client as a client to say, hey, can we have a minute or 30 minutes just to kind of walk back through the venue and think on our own without everybody? And sometimes I have to look at my parents that are with my clients and say, hey, I'm going to need you to sit in here and hang out with me and let this couple go walk back through and just have some time to themselves.
That's great advice, Dixie.
It's really important because it gives you that time to think without all the stuff, you know, going on. And to go back to what you said, to be able to envision, is that the place for you?
What great advice. I love that. I'm going to add that to my future. Like, if you go to a venue and that venue manager walks you through and it went kind of fast and they're doing their spiel and everything and they say, okay, have a great day, you should just take a moment and just tell them, like, you know what, we're going to walk around a little bit. Is that okay? We'd like to just like walk around by ourselves without, you know, do it. So important. I love that. Another thing I encourage, if you're really serious about this venue, and you're really serious about details, There's a lot of all-inclusive venues who say, we've got everything. We've got the tables. We've got the chairs. We've got the linens. We've got the bars. We've got the dishes. We've got the glasses. We've got the, you know, silverware. We've got everything. I encourage you, if this is important to you, some people, they're like, I don't care. Go look at those tables and chairs.
Yeah.
Go look at that big closet where they're all stacked up or wherever that storage is. Go look at them because they might be broken, chipped, you know, painted over 30 times and looking pretty shitty. The tables might be, you know, the linens could be just like a really poly cotton. And then, you know, do they wash them in-house? Do they source? Do they rent? You know, find out the condition of their equipment and where some of it is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Are you an all-inclusive venue?
I'm both. So you have the option with us to just book the venue, or you can book the venue and we custom design an all-inclusive package for you based on your budget and guest count. I will say, since I've been doing that, I started last year. So I've been doing it a year. In this past year, 90% of my clients have chosen to go all-inclusive. And out of the 10% that did not choose to go all-inclusive because they thought it would be fun, you know, to plan a wedding and do all that, probably 8% of the 10% ended up going all-inclusive because they were like, this is not fun.
Okay.
You're like, we're just paying bills. And I'm like, yeah, girl, that's what it is. We're paying bills. We're negotiating, bringing stuff in. So we do it both ways, for people, because there are some people who really have their shit together and they are good at that. You know what I mean? And they have it all together. But for the most part, people don't. But we do come with tables and chairs. I think any venue should come with the basics, especially nowadays with what venues are charging. I mean, I just looked at a quote from a venue that's brand new. It's stunning. And I do mean stunning, but they start out at $18,000 for 8 hours. What they list that they come with is nature trails, gorgeous bathrooms, tables and chairs, and that's it.
Wow. But,
and a covered area to pull your car in. Like, they literally have great verbiage, but it's a bunch of bullshit verbiage. You know what I mean? Like, you really are like, wait a minute. To the uneducated person, you know, in the wedding industry, they're going to look at like a client and be like, that sounds great. There's a whole list of things I'm getting here. Well, guess what, girl? I'm not charging you for my nature trails out here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go hike on those all you want to. I need to have tables, chairs, linens, whether you use them or not. It's great to have backup. I need to have some glasses. I need to have plastic cups just in case you run out. Like, there are things that you should come with and be prepared to and have, I think, especially for the price. And when you're getting into these venues that are charging these large amounts of money, yeah, they should come with something.
What kind of chairs do you have? Do you have different chairs for ceremony versus reception, or are they all the same?
We have a pine wood folding chair that we have here in stock that we keep. I would say probably 70% of our people like that chair.
It's a wood, dark wood, light wood.
So like light wood, like a natural pine, kind of like the piece of furniture behind you. And so, but then, you know, we have a lot of people who come in and they want a gold shivari chair. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want a crossback chair. Sometimes they want an iron chair. Sometimes, because we in the South and people like to eat, sometimes they have really heavy people and they need 20 heavy duty chairs for family, you know what I mean? And so because of that, because we have such a range of what people want. And I like that too. Sometimes I want couches. I don't like everything to all be the same. So if I get the dream client that's going to let me have a couch and a crossback chair and a shivari chair, I'm like, my skirt's up. So for that reason, I'll just subcontract all that stuff out and just have it brought in. You know, it's not worth it to buy that and store it and have to deal with it when I can just, you know, buy it or rent it for that wedding. And, you know, and at the same time, I'm not pulling my stuff out. So it's saving me some labor by not pulling my stuff out and wear and tear. So I don't mind putting that money towards whatever it is to, you know, upgrade it and make it look even better.
That's interesting. Yeah. There's no way in hell you could store 3 different types of chairs. You know, you're not a rental company. Yeah. Okay, so other things you want to do, note the day and the time and the lighting. Know that if you're going to look at a venue, in, you know, February, but you're getting married in August or September, lighting is going to be different, right? It's not that you can necessarily always go visit the venue at the time that your ceremony is going to take place, but just take a look. Is it dark? You know, is it very bright? Is it too bright? You know, note all of these things. Look at the restrooms. Are they clean? Are they really clean? Now, if you're going right after a wedding took place, you know, the next morning, they potentially might not be clean, in which case you have to be understanding. Are there mirrors? Are there windows? You know, all, like Dixie said, that room that you could potentially get dressed in. Also, is that room going to be available to you from the morning? Can you do hair and makeup there, right? Or is it only going to be available, you know, 2 hours before ceremony start time? In which case, no, you can't. All things that you need to know. There's a lot. There's actually a lot. So I do have a site visit cheat sheet in the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass if y'all are interested. But there's resources all over the place. But I think the biggest piece of advice is, like, just really, really, like we said, go onto the property and be so, so observant. What does it feel like? What does it look like? Does it smell weird? You know, like, is there heaters? Is there air conditioning? Are the bathrooms
chickens in the yard?
Are there? Okay. Okay. Neighbor's chicken. Oh, see, I'm not in that part of the world. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Great, great question. Number three. Okay, Dixie, this is an interesting one. Read it.
Hey, from the Facebook group, I have a question about bridal shower etiquette. If I purchase a gift off the registry, which will be shipped to the couple's address, I mean, it will mean I show up to the shower empty-handed. Would I look bad? Should I just bring a card with a note, or should I bring a physical gift with me instead to not show up empty-handed? It would be likely to be a gift card, so I know that they'll use it.
This is an interesting question. And this is not the easiest question for me to answer, if I'm being completely honest, because I don't really, like, handle this part of things. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I do know that it is considered, you know, kind of bad etiquette to bring a physical gift to a wedding. Right? Like, you have that shipped, you send it in advance. Yes. But with a wedding shower, I don't know if people even still open gifts at wedding showers. I did, but that was like 22 years ago.
Yeah. Same.
And I haven't been to a wedding and shower, and I don't even know how freaking long. Yeah. I think it's really dependent on where you're at, but it sounds to me like this person, you know, everybody's got a registry, and a lot of people choose for it just to be shipped. Like, they don't even, so, like, I don't know. I there were some community responses that I will read. Do you have any recent, you know, experience with this, Dixie?
I just had to go to a family relative's wedding shower, which I did not want to do, as you can imagine, because I did not, you know, want in my time off, didn't want to do that, but I did. They had a registry. And so I went online and I purchased what I wanted, you know, that they had on their registry. And I put, you know, purchased that and had it shipped to the place they had it sent. Now, I did take a card and a nice bottle of wine.
Cute.
You know, just so we didn't, one, so we didn't walk in empty handed, but two, also because that's something I would do anyway. It's a Southern thing. You don't ever go anywhere empty handed. Right. And then I also had her little wedding invitation set that everything that she sent to me, I had it framed.
Look, you're good. You're good at gift giving.
That's what I do for weddings. Like, I frame that kind of stuff for them and give it. They don't have to hang it up. You know what I mean? Like, they can toss it. I don't care. But that's just something that I've always done. It's an easy thing to do. It's not something a lot of people do. And let's be honest, a lot of people spend a lot of money on paper. And it's throwing away. And to be clear, anything you're spending on paper that's going to go into trash is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we had, like, her little, I took her shower invitation, had it in a cute little frame with a bottle of wine and a card.
That's such a great idea. And I also think that there's other parts to this, right? Let's say the person who's showered is, you know, doesn't even live in the state, right? You know, they're traveling. Don't bring a gift that they have to travel with.
Right, right.
That's just really difficult. I think that what a great idea, especially if it's at a home, to bring a bottle of something, right? I love that idea. This invitation in a frame is really great. I'm going to read a couple of community responses. So one of them said, shipping to the home plus a card at the event is ideal. So the couple doesn't have to bring all the gifts home with them unless they're opening gifts, like I said earlier, at the shower. Then you might want to bring it with you, or you can say in the card that you, what you got them, so they can open that at the shower. Like, oh, enjoy your new blender that I already had shipped to your friggin' house, because that's what the register said to do. That's cute. Another person, I thought this was really cute and fun. You just do whatever you want, okay? I always wrap a photo of it because I like wrapping presents, and it makes it fun for the couple to have something to open. I think that's so cute.
It's funny. Yeah, it's cute.
It's funny, right?
Yeah.
You could even just like screenshot it off of the Amazon registry or whatever and like print it out and then just
like text it to them across the room. Be like, here's your gift.
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Look at you. Yeah. Look at your phone. Look at your phone. Yeah. That's what I got you. Yeah. It's so interesting because this happens so much. Like, off the registry, where does it go? What do I bring with me to the shower? So I love that. I think those are great ideas.
Yes.
And this was such a good question. Now I know. I'm going to wrap a picture of a gift. Yeah. I'm ever invited to a wedding shower again.
Yeah. Or okay. Their invitation.
Yeah. Or their invitation. Okay. Okay. This is a doozy. This is a big one. Big, big, big one. Okay. I'm going to read some of it and I'm going to have you read some of it because it's long. Okay. Number 4. I've run into some questions with my photographer, particularly with if it's worthwhile giving feedback about communication. She seems to be choosing to communicate through social media to her clients instead of sending emails to give updates. I wonder if this is normal or something you have heard of wedding vendors doing these days. Here's some background. First off, I really liked her. I got back 100 sneak peeks. By the way, this person's already married, peeps. If I didn't make that clear. I got back 100 sneak peeks 48 hours after the wedding, and I loved a lot of them. It's interesting. She didn't say all of them. She said a lot of them. She seems to be running a little behind with getting back the wedding photos. However, her contract states 12 weeks, which I was fine with, even though my partial planner made it seem like it may be on the longer end of the spectrum. I don't mind being a little patient. Okay, so the photographer's contract said, I'll get you the photos back within 12 weeks, okay? Last year, she was a little behind on the engagement photos. I ended up emailing her 2 weeks after the original due date that she had given me for the engagement photos. And then she sent me the engagement photos within 24 hours of me emailing. It did make me wonder if she rushed to finish them after I had emailed or if it was just a coincidence. Okay, Dixie, read the rest.
Now, flash forward, waiting for the wedding photos. I see her posting a lot on her Instagram about how stressed out and how behind she is. A month ago, I saw her post something about being behind and that clients who hadn't received their photos from her should have by now. Should I reach out to her? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, since the 12-week window for me hadn't passed yet. I waited until 14 weeks out to email and check in, but I did not get a response. Instead, I saw an Instagram post a day later saying that said, running behind, sorry, life as a mom has been really busy. I do feel for her and get that she's super busy. She has a 3-year-old, and I saw on her Instagram that she just had a baby shower for another kid on the way. She also just posted this week that she is moving to a new state and has a lot on her plate. I honestly wouldn't be stressed out, or I would be stressed out slash behind too if I were in her shoes, though I admit part of me selfishly would like my photos back before the holidays, and I want to feel confident that she's not going to rush through the editing process since she's so busy. So do you want me to read the questions also?
Yeah. Okay, so here are two specific questions.
So questions are, one, I don't mind being patient, though I am wondering at what point I should start worrying. Seems way too long to be waiting for photos and start requesting an updated time frame. Now it's been over 15 weeks. Two, is it strange that she's communicating to clients through social media, or is this just how the new generation of wedding vendors does it? Personally, I don't mind if she's running late, but I think communicating it to me so I'm not worried that she forgot about me could be helpful.
Okay, so I have a long email chain with this listener because it just kind of went on and on, but she sent me screenshots of what she means by this photographer communicating via social media. She's posting to her Instagram story and saying these things like, oh, mom life, or, you know, if you're expecting your wedding photos, they're going to be a little delayed. I blah, 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 blah. Like it's kind of for me personally, as a wedding planner, I don't think that's acceptable. I mean, sure, you could post whatever you want on your social, but when you're in a contract with several clients, like, you need to be communicating directly with your client. You can't just post a social and think everybody's looking at your damn stories, of which a lot of them are because they want their damn photos. But that is not what you do as a business owner. It's not cool, man. It's not good. I have never heard of this, by the way. I mean, I've seen things posted, yes, but you have to communicate with your clients.
So I have seen this, and I do have some photographers that I've seen this with. And it sucks. But you hit the nail on the head. She is the client. There is an agreement, and it did say, you know, when she should have her stuff. And I mean, as a client and as a wedding professional, I say you absolutely want to get your stuff before she moves, because if she is scatterbrained and disorganized and having a hard time right now while she's pregnant with a 3-year-old and she's moving, you can bet your sweet ass after she moves, it's going to be a shit show for her. And you're going to be stressed out and she's going to be stressed out, but the client is right in this case. And however, whatever this woman chooses to do on her social media, you know, even though she probably should think about that and know that every client is watching and wondering where their stuff is, she needs to get them their photos.
Yeah. Now, specifically answering your question, it's been over 15 weeks. Contractually, she had 12 weeks, and you have not heard from her directly. You're just reading shit that she's posting on Instagram. It's time to stop being patient. It's time to start getting in touch with this photographer. And I mean, I would start an email every day at this point, every day, you know, hey, checking in. I saw how busy you are on Instagram, but I'd love to know what the timeline is, because we are now 15 weeks out. The holidays are coming. I wanted to give photos to my parents. Like, this is, you know, she owes you at the very least direct communication, but contractually she owes you those photos now.
Yes. Yes. 100%. I mean, it's disheartening. You know, when people get married, of course you want your photos back immediately. You're so excited and you can't wait to see these. And when the person who does your photos is, one, late, two, posting stuff like this on social media, it does. It conjures up some feelings, and you don't want to have, I mean, even if the photos are great and amazing, you don't want to have bad feelings about your wedding photographer. You know, you don't want to let it get to that point.
Right.
So it's time for her to, you know, quit being patient and say, hey, listen, do I need to hold your baby while you finish my photos? Because girl, like, I can handle it. Like, I just want my photos.
Yeah. And then she wrote back, she looked at her contract, and it says, and this is a quote, on average, we will have your electronic photos uploaded to our site within 8 to 12 weeks of your wedding date, unless otherwise noted. So this is an example of wording in a contract that kind of, like, when you read it a year out, and you love the photographer's work, and you love the photographer because you have a great rapport, you're like, it's fine. Like, it's fine. Like, listen, she's not going to never get you your photos, right?
Yeah.
But again, waiting 12 weeks, that's 3 months.
Yeah.
That is 3 months. Yes, she gave you some quickies for you to, like, you know, to get so that you're not all, you know, foaming at the mouth. But, like, you want your photos. So yeah, that's another thing. When we look at contracts, people, think about this. Think about how much you're going to want those photos, right? And yes, if it says 8 to 12 weeks, okay. But it's like, on average, we will have, there is no specifics, right? And so think about anybody looking at a photography contract right now, and photographers might come after me, but ask them to reword it. Like, do an addendum.
That's a red flag comment.
And that's a red flag.
As a client, or, you know, or as a wedding planner, if you're reading these for your clients, you need to go through with your little red flag pen and put a little red flag right there and be like, we need to clarify this part right here, because this is neither black or white. This is a gray comment.
Right.
Which, right, contracts aren't a place for that. So,
yeah. So it's a shame. And, you know, the other thing is, and this is another thing, and I usually hear this from people hiring a wedding planner, but, you know, I'm my wedding planner, all of a sudden I'm not hearing back from her. I just found out, looking at her personal social, that she's expecting a baby in a few weeks, and my wedding is in 2 months, and I'm really worried. Listen, everybody, no matter who your wedding vendor is going to have life moments and milestones in their lives. And they don't have to tell you that they're having a child. They don't have to give this information to you. On the other side of things, I don't think it's really great for someone to say, you know what, I'm not going to hire her because she's pregnant. This is why business owners need to hire virtual assistants. They need to potentially sometimes outsource for editing of these photos, post-production, because you can't do it all and, mm-hmm, like, live your life, right? Don't take on too many weddings if you cannot get the work done, if you cannot commit in a contract, because you are giving tangible items to these clients, right? So it's really hard to kind of balance and, you know, decipher whether or not you can work with someone based on this, or, you know, whether or not this person is kind of trying to screw you over, or if they're going to do a rush job and you're going to have a shitty product. I understand the hesitation here.
Yeah.
This is tough.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, you know, but hopefully she gets it resolved. Hopefully she gets her photos. And when she does, tell her to send some. I want to see.
Well, I told her, I'm like, you better share those photos.
Yeah, we're ready.
I promise I won't say anything.
Now I'm going to be waiting on it too. Okay?
I know. And yes, people, it is weird. It is weird that only all communication is going through Instagram stories. They need to talk to you.
Yes. Yeah. That is weird. But and I will say, it's become very common, especially, I think, with photographers. I think they're more creative on that level, and they don't realize. I know a lot of photographers who don't really have a true admin side, you know, And I don't think it's that uncommon. And I guess that's okay for some people. But when you get to a level and you're doing so many events, you've got to give it up. You got to have an admin side, or you have to cut days off your week and say, today I am sitting on my ass doing admin stuff and doing the not fun part, you know, of my job.
Right.
Doing this. It is what it is. We've all had to do it. If you don't do it, you won't stay in business.
And it's hard for a client to gauge whether or not sometimes those vendors are good at that side of things, because when it's contract phase, when you're a prospect, they are going to give you so much attention because they are going to want that deposit and get that contract signed and get it booked. And then some of them just drop off the face of the earth and you're like, God damn, you know? So this is why wedding planners exist, peeps.
Right.
All right. Here we go. Almost there. Question number 6. Hey, this is also from the Facebook group. We're almost a month away and I'm updating my wedding website to show a non-hosted casual quote welcome party. I hesitate to call it a party because we're wanting to keep it low key since it'll be the night before the wedding. And we just want people to stop by if they'd like to say hi and hang out with us. Should I add this to the website saying we'll be at X bar, come by to say hi? We're also wanting to do an after party just after the wedding by going to a local bar, with both being non-hosted. Would it be okay to put them on the website as an FYI, or would people expect them to be paid for?
That's a hard one for me. I don't know about putting it on the website. I don't know how I feel about that. How do you feel about that?
I feel like, there's a lot of kind of personal feelings I have about that because, you know, I feel like if you're going to ask somebody to be somewhere twice, right, pre and post, some of it needs to be hosted. And if you can't, then I wouldn't do that. If you can't host it, if you financially can't afford it, then I wouldn't be doing these two events. I think it's okay, you know, for the welcome party, or, you know, just say, and making sure that you really do put in writing, this is non-hosted. We're going to be here and, you know, we'd love to have you join us. There's ways to do it very inexpensively. I have had clients go to a pizza place and like buy a few pitchers of beer and say, we're going to be buying a few pitchers of beer at, you know, whatever, round table pizza. Hope you could join us, kind of a deal, right? You don't have to make it a whole nother wedding. Like, you don't have to make it a whole nother reception. But if you can get away with buying some beer or a couple of pies of pizza, like, do that. And, you know, make it what it is, a very casual, like, we're going to be drinking beer, we're buying a few pitchers, would love to see you if you can make it. Here's where we're going to be. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. Yeah. I just don't know how, like I said, about putting it on the website and all of that stuff. I think that's a little overkill.
But that's the way that they tell people it's happening, right?
I guess, or you could just plan out a group text. And the nice thing is technology now, we can schedule text. So, you know, you could send a text out or, you know, something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it just depends on, you know, how much they want people to assume that this is a paid for event. I mean,
yeah. Well, a couple of community responses that I thought were worth noting here. One person said, I called it a welcome event. Our rehearsal dinner is Thursday. So for Friday, we're going to the Applebee's behind the hotel where the block is. And I wrote on the website, quote, We invite you to join us at Applebee's. Food and drinks are at your expense. Mm-hmm. It is just for something to do and for us to see people we may not see at the wedding or talk to very much. So I actually disagree with we invite you, because when you say we invite you, that means you're paying. So I would just say, if I were this person, we're going to be at Applebee's. We're going to be at Applebee's. Food and drinks would be at your expense, but if you could come by, we'd love to see you. I don't know. Again, I feel like you're right, Dixie. I don't know if it's worth putting it on the website if you're not paying for anything at all. I think it would be more of like, hey, you know, texting, be like, we're going to be here. I wish, I don't know. Yeah, I just
go around and letting them know, you could schedule a text. And then if it's the thing after, you know, go after the wedding, you could have somebody go around and tell everybody, I mean, that we're going to go do this.
Yeah. Like the matriarchs, patriarchs, the family, your besties, like, hey, you know, we're going to go and meet Dixie and Michelle at Applebee's. It's, you know, everybody's BYO, whatever. What's the term when you
go Dutch?
We're going Dutch.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, you could do that. Hey, we're going Dutch.
Yeah.
If you guys want to come and buy your dinner.
Dutch bar crawl. Okay.
I feel like, and this is personal, if you're not going to be hosting, meaning paying for anything for people, you don't really blast that.
You could be on a website. Say, hey, I'm going to be at Applebee's. Come buy me a drink.
You want to buy me a drink? I'll be at Applebee's. I have seen you. Yeah, that's like the bachelor parties. Yeah. Like, here's Venmo. Buy me a drink. Huh. And then another person said, we're doing the same thing. Yeah. I put that on the website and I called it, quote, unofficial. So people are doing this. Listen.
I'll sit out there and see what happens, I guess.
You do you. I'd love to hear more about this, people. Yeah. I'd love to hear more about how you're doing this.
Yeah, agreed. Ditto.
Okay, last question.
How do I orchestrate the who has been married longest dance/game?
Who has been married the longest dance/game? Okay, I haven't seen this in a really long time, Dixie. Have you?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, well, talk to us. Walk us through this. Because I think it's one of those. So listen, I'm all about these micro events that, you know, experiential, that like engage your guests and like have fun with things, right? So how do you do it?
Most of the time, the DJ does it. The DJ is in complete control of this. And as he should be, he's loud, he's got a microphone, he's got everybody's attention, he's calling all the shots for this game/dance. So he is normally in charge of that. It's normally done pretty early on in the night, because most of the time your people who've been married the longest aren't hanging till 11, 12 o'clock at night. so it's normally something that's done, you know, around at our time, 7 o'clock, you know what I mean? No later than 7 o'clock. And people do love it. And it's a very sweet moment. You know, it's a very cute way to honor the people who've been married a long time and, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's sweet. It can take a long time.
Yes.
You need to talk to your DJ if you don't want it to take up that much time. You know, you want to just keep it a one song, 3 minutes, you know, so that's something you'll have to orchestrate with the DJ. But I find that letting the DJ or your MC, hopefully you have a DJ or someone, a band leader, someone like that, I find letting them do it is the best way to go.
And do they, I can't remember, like, it's like, it's like, raise your hand if you've been, or stand over here if you've been married.
All couples are invited to dance. And then if you've been married for less than 2 years, leave the dance floor.
Like, you know what I mean? Got it. Like, it's process of elimination.
And the time goes up until you've got the person on the one couple on the dance floor that's been married 100 years. Yeah.
yes. And then I've seen people, instead of tossing a bouquet, they give the bouquet.
Yes.
To that couple, or they give them a a centerpiece, or they have a little cake. You give them something.
Yes. It's sweet. It's cute. It also gives them the, you know, an opportunity to get some really great photos of somebody who's been married a long time, which is really neat.
Okay. Excellent. Yes. And so, yes, I think I do remember it now. It's been a long time. Now that you mention it, I do remember it. It is that process of elimination. Everybody, all married couples on the dance floor. We got a little game for you. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. And that's a nice little experiential micro event.
Yeah. It's a cute fun thing to do. Just don't do all the fun things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't do it all.
Yeah. Don't do the shoe game and the wedding dance.
Yeah.
And don't do all of that, please.
Don't. And the money dance.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. That wraps Yawa for November 2023. Those were all great questions and all quite different.
Yes, they were. And it was fun.
Dixie, thank you so much for coming back and being on this show. I love having you always.
I love chatting with you. You've always been my first and most favorite wedding podcast. As an individual and as a crazy person who does unfortunately watch and consume wedding stuff when I'm not working, just because it's my interest. And I think it's great for everybody getting married or who just is a geek and likes wedding stuff. They need to listen to your podcast.
Thank you, Dixie.
And you're a cool chick too. So,
well, I love you. Thank you. Happy holidays to you. And I will see you soon.
Catch up soon. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag PlanThatWedding when posting. Follow on TikTok at Big Wedding Planning Pod. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? Send an email to hello@thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com or my personal favorite, leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you, love the show. Bye.